Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it.
We come from east and west and from north and south to praise God's holy name.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it.
We come to sing to the Lord a new song.
The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it.
God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song.
Stars, cloud rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. Hail, wind and rain, loud blowing snowstorm, sing to the Lord a new song. It has done marvelous things. Sing praises with a new song. Stand machines, loud pounding hammers, sing to the Lord a new song. Limestone and beams, loud building workers, sing to the Lord. God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song. Classrooms and labs, loud boiling test tubes, sing to the Lord a new song. Athlete and band, loud cheering people, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We will sing praises with a new song. Knowledge and truth, sounding wisdom, sing to the Lord a new song.
Be with you. Good morning, Cindy. Peace. Peace.
Thank you. When you have sung enough peace and when you have created enough joy, please be seated. So maybe you woke up this morning with good news, and so you came here to share. Maybe you woke up this morning and desperately needed good news, so you came here to listen. Maybe you set out in search of the library book sale and saw all the cars and thought it must be here, so you came in search of a good book. Or maybe you set out in search of truth and grace and saw that steeple and remembered that this is the home of the good book. Maybe you're hungry for peace and hope and love, or maybe you are just hungry for a giant strawberry shortcake with more whipped cream than you can imagine. Maybe you wanted to sing. Maybe you need quiet contemplation. Maybe you are full of joy. Maybe you could use a little. Maybe you know exactly why you are here, or you have no idea what brought you here. In any case, no matter why you are here, no matter who you love, what kind of body you have, where you live, who you vote for, or who you cheer for, you are welcome in this holy space, for this is God's house, a sanctuary, a place of prayer, a garrison of grace, a castle of compassion, and a lighthouse of love. Here we gather in the midst of the Spirit, bringing our lives to God's transforming grace. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I see that the line is already forming, but if you have an announcement to make on the life of this church, I invite you to come forward and do so. I invite all of you to take out this green sheet of paper. We print it not just so that it looks pretty in your bulletin, but that you might actually read it and then take it home with you. I invite all of our guests who are with us here today to fill out the pew card that is in your pew and put it in the offering plate that we might reach out with a greeting in the days to come. I also want to lift to you one announcement about the family of this church. Steve Bankert's father passed away a little over a week ago, and he has been home taking care of that business. And so please keep Steve and his father and the entire family in your prayers in the days to come. Anne.
Morning. Thank you to all of you who helped last week with food for some Muddy Brook families who might have otherwise have been hungry this weekend. We sent home 20 backpacks plus an additional bag to 20 different families who could use the help over the weekend. We're going to do it again for the next 4 weeks. I've got some Muddy Brook kids who are here who are not hurting for food. I can tell you I've been feeding them for a long time. But these are some of the items that we're sending home are here, and you can talk to me right after church, but we're doing this for 4 more weeks. Thanks very, very much.
Good morning, my name is John Geldert, and I have a few announcements for you on behalf of the Growth and Fellowship Committee. As Brent already hinted at, today is our annual Strawberry Social, so please stick around for that afterwards. You may know that we had to cancel the all-church picnic due to rain in June. I'm happy to report that that has been rescheduled for July 26th at noon. You'll find information in your green insert. And finally, both an acknowledgement and a request, Cindy Brown, who chaired the Growth and Fellowship Committee for a couple of years, has also been our go-to photographer for church events. She is understandably asking to be relieved of that duty for the time being, and so So first of all, thanks to Cindy for getting all those great photos from our church life, which are on our website, and is actually one of the most heavily viewed areas of the site. But we're looking for photographers. If you have skill with a photographer, or if you've always wanted to give a try at that, please see me, and we'll get you lined up to shoot at some of our church life events. Thank you.
I'm Gene Kalish. I'm married to Ann Hutchinson, and inspired by Brent's news from the first, I've decided to tell you about a project my daughter has been working on for the last 6 months. It's called The Dream Unfinished. And it's a symphonic benefit for civil rights that is taking place down in New York on the anniversary of Eric Garner's death at the hands of the police last year. We passed the peace, but without justice, without social justice, there really can be no peace. They're raising money for a number of civil rights groups. And if you can't make it to New York for the concert, you may want to help raise money for this symphonic event for civil rights. All the musicians are playing for free. I will have copies of this made by the time of the Strawberry Social. I didn't bring it up before because I didn't think it was appropriate for the church, because it's not a church event. But when I read Brent's note to the first, and I realized how this church is devoted to civil rights, I thought I should bring it to your attention. So I'll have copies of this made after the church, and it has the web address. You can read all about the event. Thank you.
And one last announcement. I am Amy Freeman, and I wanted to let you know that we'll be starting a meal train, a meal list for Terry Wise, starting next week on the 14th when she returns. And if anyone is interested in helping with a meal, a dessert, a loaf of bread, something special like that, just get a hold of me after church. I'll be in the JE room. So just let me know if you're interested in helping out with the meals. I'll also send out an email. Thank you. And at this time, we'll ask the children to come up forward for children's time.
All right, come on over on this side today. Come on up, have a seat right out here. You can just sit down right where you are, Irving. That would be perfect. Up. Oh. The resilience of young bodies, it is a good thing. Come on over. All right, have a seat. Okay. Good morning, everybody. I need a volunteer this morning. Willa, I saw your hand first, so come on up. So Willa, here's what I want you to do, and they're going to help you do this. I want you to show people the exact right way to sit in church. Okay? So how do you sit in church? Can you show us? You've got it. Oh, so this is perfect, right? This is exactly right, right? The ideal way is a little bit of a smile on the face, the head slightly down, the hands perched nicely on the lap, right? The model of perfect attention and loving adoration, right? Right? So why do we sometimes sit exactly the way that Willa is sitting this morning? Why is it good sometimes to sit and be quiet and have our hands in our lap? Any ideas? Any ideas? Yeah, Irving. So you can listen. Sometimes there are important things being said, like those announcements that we need to listen to. Why else? Yeah. To be respectful, absolutely, because we're in God's house, and a lot of what we're doing is serious business, and we need to be respectful. Any other ideas? I think sometimes we also sit because it allows our bodies and minds to be quiet. It allows us to simply focus on praying and that sort of thing. But are there times in church where maybe we don't sit at all, or certainly we don't sit still and quietly? Can you think of times in church that we don't sit? Or sit quietly? When? When we sing. That's right, because we need to be up. We need to get, Kathy would tell you, we need to have our diaphragms in the right place so that the air can flow out. So when we sing, we stand. When else don't we sit or be quiet? Yeah. When we're passing the peace like we just did, it's a mess, right? People are all over the place saying hi to each other and giving peace. And we move because we are human beings in bodies. We move. Any other time that we're either not quiet or stand up? Towards the end of the service today, we will pray, right? We will offer our prayers for each other, and we will speak, and we will be loud. So sometimes church is a serious business, but church is also meant to be joyful and full of joy. So let me ask you a question. What would happen if you were sitting in church, and instead of hearing a hymn like we normally hear, you heard a song like this one? All of you, watch these people. Exactly. So did you notice that as soon as the song started playing, people started moving, right? When you're happy and when you have joy, your body just starts moving. I want to tell you a very important story from the Bible. There was this guy named King David. Have you heard of him? Okay, we've heard of him. King David was in many ways a very serious guy who did a lot of serious things. But there was a moment where King David was bringing back the what's known as the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. This was a box inside of which were the original Ten Commandments. It was a way the people understood God to be present and right there. And David wasn't serious in that moment at all. It was not a solemn processional. It was not a sad movement. It was not people sitting with their hands in their laps. Do you know what David did? David danced, just like you were all the way back to Jerusalem. Do you know how hard David danced? David danced right out of his clothes. By the time he got to Jerusalem, the only thing he had on was his underwear. Here's the thing I want you to remember. Church is sometimes serious. It's sometimes a time to be quiet and keep our hands in our lap. It is sometimes time to listen and to pray. But we are human beings with bodies. And sometimes the church is meant to be full of joy and grace and hope and love, so big that you can't help doing what you guys did when the music started playing, dancing with your whole lives. Can you remember that? All right. Before you go back to your seats, let's make a big circle because we got a lot of people. And let's pray a prayer that hopefully you know. And it's called the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know it, listen and we will teach it to you. If you do know it, say it out loud, and that includes all of you. John, you want to come up and join us? All right, let's pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you may go back to your seats. Thank you.
Our reading this morning comes from Mark. It takes place just after Jesus returned home. Jesus has been traveling among the villages teaching. He has just sent out his disciples who have been anointing the sick and curing the ill. Hear now our words of truth for today. King Herod heard of the many miracles of healing, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately the girl rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb.
Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, source of light and life, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might open gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. Massachusetts native Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, whose poetry was imbued with an air of musicality, said this about the human voice. He said that the human voice is a musical instrument. The human voice, Longfellow observed, is the very organ of the soul. Longfellow believes that our voice is a musical instrument, and not just any instrument, it is the organ, the king of instruments. An instrument that anyone who was at Tanglewood on Friday night could tell you packs a mighty wallop, a big punch. The organ is an instrument of power, glory, and influence. The human voice has the capacity to lift us beyond ourselves, to stir our imagination, and to embolden our bodies. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had the beauty of soul and the gift of voice. When he climbed the steps of the Lincoln Monument to address the nation, he sounded forth like a great organ. "I have a dream." And when that great blast resonated, his dream became the collective dream of a generation. When his contemporary John F. Kennedy climbed the steps at the other end of the mall on the Capitol, he too let out a mighty blast, challenging the people of this nation, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And both the old and the young rose up to serve. The human voice, as an instrument of the soul, has the capacity not just to lift us up in lofty aspiration, but also to lift us out of places of despair and loss, too. Few alive will forget the day that the Space Shuttle Challenger disintegrated as a nation watched in horror in the blue sky. Then President Ronald Reagan sat behind his desk and lifted our hearts beyond the moment and our eyes beyond the horizon when he said, "The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us by the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God." So too, our current President Barack Obama pulled us out of the paralyzing shock of hate and pointed us toward a better tomorrow in his eulogy of the Reverend Clementa Pinckney. He said, as a nation, out of this terrible tragedy, God has visited grace upon us, for he has allowed us to see where we've been blind. He's given us the chance where we've been lost to find our best selves. The human voice, friends, is the organ of the soul, and when it is played beautifully, it can take us beyond ourselves and toward the holy. When it is deeply rooted in our soul, the human voice is capable of evoking the eternal, of evoking the divine, in whose very image we are all made. And then again, the human voice, like any instrument out there, including the great organ, can go dreadfully off key. This reading from Mark this morning reminds us of how just off key our human voice can be, and just how human that instrument can sound. Did you hear those words of Herod, the mother, and her daughter? Those words sounded forth like a mighty blast, strong and powerful. Yet I hope they also evoked the caution of Richard Strauss, who reflected that while the human voice is the most beautiful instrument of all, it is also the most difficult to play. Mark, as a gospel writer, is a man of very few words. But here, in what is clearly the most soap opera moment of his entire gospel, he spends many, many words to remind us just how powerful those words are. Rather than harmony, human voice can belt out discord. Rather than lifting us up, the human voice can drag us down. Rather than evoking the divine, the human voice can betray the love and meaning of the one in whose image we are created and by whose very voice we came to be. In each of these characters and how they use their voice on that fateful day is the sobering truth that our voice, like a great organ, is far too powerful to take or use lightly. First of all, let's take a look at Herod, right? There is Herod who on the surface makes what seems to be a very generous offer. But in reality, that offer has less to do with pleasing that little girl and more for Herod to show off. He has gathered all of the leaders of Galilee around him, and he wants to show them just how generous he is, just how rich he is, just how powerful he is. Caught in the moment, Herod tries to show off and make himself look good. And in the end, Herod comes to wish he had just kept his mouth shut. Then there is the mother. She is deeply hurt and full of anger. She uses her voice, that organ of her soul, not to demand justice, but to seek vengeance. When her daughter, her own precious daughter, comes to her in this magical moment of possibility, seeking advice, that mother is so blinded by the inherent limitations of anger that she squanders it all. And she gives the worst possible motherly guidance. Oh, and let's not let that little girl off the hook just yet. She is given the opportunity of a lifetime. Ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. And yet, rather than dreaming bold new dreams, she uses her voice to repeat and support something that should have instead been utterly repudiated. No matter how old that girl is, she is old enough to know that what her mother is asking her to do is simply and categorically wrong. Yet instead of challenge, she uses the king of instruments for complicity. The human voice, the most beautiful of instruments, is clearly the most difficult to play. If we are fully honest, though, I think each of these statements by these three people might strike closer to home than we might like. We've all used our voice, our king of instruments, in self-serving ways, amen. We have all blurted out when we are angry, amen. And we have all remained silent or complicit when we should have spoken out, amen. We know the truth that sometimes we wish we had kept our mouths shut. And far too often in moments that matter, we become afraid to speak out for fear of looking like Herod, that mother, or that little girl. But the truth is this: we are called to speak. We are called to sound forth in living echoes of God's tone. In the Christian tradition and here in the United Church of Christ, we know that we must use this great instrument of ours. We know that we are called to use our voice to lift up praise and thanksgiving to the one from whom all blessings flow. We are called to speak to the issues, injustice, and difficulties of this day, because if not us, who? To speak truth to power and love to limitation, because if not now, when? To remain silent denies who we are and how we were created. For we, brothers and sisters, are blessed with the instrument of voice, and instruments are built to be played. King and Kennedy, Reagan and Obama, they all illuminate how to use our voice as a blessing, how to use our instrument to play stirring melodies that lift the imagination and peaceful tone poems to shine light into despair. Each of those four great men reveal how to look beyond ourselves toward the common good, how to look beyond the horizon to evoke the eternal. Their speech reflects the holy soul of humanity. But I've got bad news for you. As good as they are, as beautiful their words, and as powerful as their voice, you, all of us, are called to go even further than their example. Jesus, the one in whom we gather and in whose way we walk, set our sights beyond even such luminaries as King and Kennedy, Reagan and Obama. Here's what Jesus tells us. He tells us to be perfect, just as God is perfect. To tap so deeply into our soul, to rely so thoroughly on the Spirit's guidance, to use our voice no less beautifully, powerfully, or lovingly than God uses her voice. To make our instrument, in fact, God's own instrument. So since we are called to speak, and since Jesus calls to speak in perfection, I spent this last week trying to contemplate how God speaks differently from those three characters in Mark's gospel. First, unlike Herod, when God speaks, it is not for self-benefit. After all, an instrument never plays for its own enjoyment. Instead, an instrument always makes melody for the benefit of the other. When God speaks, like she did in the Word made flesh, when God spoke and sent Jesus into this world, that was not for God's own benefit. It was not to show off God's power, glory, or might, but rather how through that word and its humility, service, and suffering, the whole world might benefit. So when we use our instrument of voice, may it not be to make ourselves heard, but rather that others might hear through it hope and peace and grace. Second, like that mother, God knows all too well what it feels like to be hurt and in pain. Micah, one of the great prophets, paints a searing and tragic picture of just how our injustice causes God pain. Micah describes God as so brokenhearted that he is lamenting and wailing, so hurt that God is barefoot and naked in mourning, so distraught over our injustice that he laments like a jackal. But unlike the mother who lashes out in anger, God speaks passionately for justice and new beginnings. Through the voice of Micah, God proclaims that instead of vengeance, God is going to raise up a holy place where the people shall learn, God says. Learn how to beat swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. A place where we shall learn war no more. Instead of responding to anger with anger, God instead seeks to eliminate all that causes it. So when we speak, may we use our instrument to speak passionately, never angrily. May our music be calls to peace rather than battle cries. And finally, unlike that little girl afraid to stand up to her mother, God is never afraid to speak boldly truth to power. God thundered to Pharaoh, remember? God also bellowed to King David when he went astray. God raised prophets. He sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach against that city. He also sent Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel to preach against Jerusalem. When God speaks, the psalmist often describes God's voice as the sounding of a trumpet. Nothing shy or timid about God's voice. When we hear wrongful cries for violence, when we encounter falsehood, may we sound forth our own instrument boldly to confront any wrong, no matter who is speaking. Brothers and sisters, now more than ever, the world needs our voice, because if not us, who? And if not now, when? The world needs the great sound of the human organ, not the paltry, discordant blast rooted in our limited, fleeting human condition. We do not need the likes of Herod, the mother, or her daughter sounding forth. What this world needs now is nothing less than the voice that is the true echo of God's living tone. A voice so deeply rooted in our soul, so firmly grounded in the Spirit, that its sound takes us beyond ourselves and toward the image of the one who created us. A voice that speaks passionately for the benefit of the other and rises up against anything and anyone that diminishes life. Friends, we have been blessed with the King of all instruments. Let us never take it lightly. Instead, always use it powerfully, humbly, beautifully, wisely, and lovingly. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. God, bless us this day with your Spirit, the Spirit of gentleness, the Spirit of restlessness. May the Holy Spirit that has guided those who have come before us guide us now, that the gift of our voice might find resonance in your voice, that it might sound forth like the mighty organ in chords of love, tones of grace, and overtures of joy. And let the whole church say, Amen. Please rise and let us sing.
Thank you.
sea.
Please be seated. We now come to a time in our church life where we lift our voices, use the instrument God gave us to name both our joys and our concerns. Here in this church, we share them out loud so that we may not just pray for them here in this moment, but they might be our companions in the week to come. And so I ask you today, what joys are on your hearts? What concerns are on your mind? Linda. Wonderful. In his name? We give thanks for Owen and his presence in your life, and we give thanks for the 50 years of marriage for you and Sharon. Other joys and concerns. Mary Lou. We give you thanks for your friendship with Lark and for your coming here. Welcome. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Martha. We lift up our brothers and sisters in North County in Pittsfield as they deal with the violence of last weekend. Casey. We are joyful that your parents are once again with us. It is good to see you. We do lift up Terry on her continuing journey along with Jay. They are in Chicago this weekend, but we wish Terry continued healing. David. We lift up Ned Grant, who passed away all too young this week, for his parents who are distraught and for all who mourn his loss. Yes, Patty. Safe travels for Trudy and her family on their way to France and Italy. Mary. We give thanks for Joyce and her whole family in the celebration of 80 years of life. Bob. We lift up Kate Steinle, did you say? Who lost her daughter this week in apparently tragic circumstances. What's that? Kate was the daughter. Okay, we lift up Kate and her parents who are mourning Kate's passing. Yes. We hear your painful part of transition that you are entering in your life. We lift up your calls for grace and hope and peace in the midst of those difficult times. Yes, Nell. And what is his name, I'm sorry? We pray for Butch Kallstrom, who had an accident with a piece of machinery and may lose his leg. We pray for his healing and wholeness. Let us then take a moment of silence to let those prayers onto our hearts and into our minds. God, you who spoke over the waters and brought forth life, we your people gather in the fullness of life with all of the joys our hearts can carry and all of the burdens our shoulders can bear. We gather in this holy space to sing our praises with a new song and to be touched by your gentle spirit. God, recreate us in this time of worship to be in your likeness once more. Pierce the shadows of our souls and the difficulty of our life with the brilliance of your light. God, here and now, we bring before you the wholeness of our lives and ask nothing more than that you pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness and that you take us into your loving arms. Touch us, God, with your gentle spirit and be with us on this day and all our days. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, with deep gratitude for the bounty of our lives, with hearty courage to face the things that must be faced, and with faith in the blessings of God yet to be revealed, let us give now to the ministries of this local church.
Bless these gifts, loving God, that they might sound forth from this place in living echoes of your tone. Transform them that they might be bringers of peace, bestowers of harmony, granters of love, and beacons of hope. And let the whole church say, Amen. You can count on it like clockwork. Every single Sunday, you can count on it that right now, I will stand here and invite you to come through those doors. Don't go through those doors. Today, I invite all of you, following the benediction and as the music is playing, to come on out and join us for a time of strawberries and fellowship on the lawn. Two more quick invitations. Tomorrow we continue with our movie night series right here in the Jonathan Edwards room. And then on Tuesday, a new Bible study, Living Buddha, Living Christ, a book study, will start Tuesday evening at 7. Take advantage of those great opportunities. And now let us close our worship using our instruments of voice.